Hey everybody, Paul Fontaine, Jeff Hawkins here on the Dynamite Show. Want to welcome everyone here that's watching live on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel, watching on X, and for those of you listening tomorrow morning on the or Thursday morning on the Fight Game Media free audio feed. Want to thank you all for supporting us all here at Fight Game Media. And Jeff, we got a lot to get into here. It's like the show's just ended and we're already promoting a big show in 2 weeks. So, you know, it's like this.
We're not even a week out from their last pay-per-view either.
No, it's like every week. It's like we're either recapping a pay-per-view or promoting one. Although, you know, the next one's actually a free TV show, but it's, you know, it's shaping up to be almost like a pay-per-view. Well, before we do that, let's talk a little bit about All Out. I watched it. I almost live, like I was, well, I started about 3 hours in. So like 3 hours from the start of the pre-show.
I was almost live.
Well, I caught up kind of like by the end. I think I was about an hour behind, but an hour and a half maybe, because there's not a lot of downtime in AEW shows. But man, that was up until the Moxley angle. Like, so the end of the Bryan Danielson match, which wasn't a great match. It was fine. It was good. It wasn't great. To me, that might have been like if they had ended the show after the Danielson match and just went off the air with Bryan Danielson celebrating, Final Countdown playing, and everyone's happy. That might have been like one of the best pay-per-views they ever did.
I'm inclined to agree with you.
And then John Moxley decided to attempt murder on Bryan Danielson with a plastic bag, and then whatever the hell that main event was.
Let's get into this a little bit. Were you turned off by the plastic bag? Because to me, as somebody who watched the actual Terry Funk angle, for which this was an homage in some ways, I watched that one live and it didn't affect me as much, probably because I'm older and more jaded and I took Terry Funk's a little bit more seriously, but
I wasn't appalled or anything. I was okay. Just, what are they doing? Like that's kind of the
hold that thought for when we get into Dynamite, because on that I will also kind of agree in retrospect.
I don't mind like the churn. The churn was great. It just nobody in their right mind believes that John Moxley's actually trying to murder Bryan Danielson.
Okay. You know. Again, hold this thought. Hold okay. this thought, because it's gonna get into his promos tonight and everything okay. like that.
All right.
The cage match.
Oh my god.
I've listened to a lot of people, and you know it's so weird because it's like it wasn't the violence.
No,
that got me. It was that the violence really didn't make a lot of sense.
Well, that and just like. I don't mind violence. Like people say, oh, well, you watch MMA and there's bleeding all the time. And like, I don't have a problem with the blood. I don't have a problem with the hitting. I can't recall the last time I saw a UFC fight and somebody brought out a staple gun and stapled somebody's
chest. Yeah, staple guns are kind of dumb.
I don't remember the last time somebody attempted a move on a fucking cinder block.
A cinder block in a street fight doesn't make, you know, get that it's a callback to the Keith Lee stuff. I get that, but it's not the kind of thing that, see, it strains credulity at times because it's one of those things where it's like, why are you bringing a cinder block into a cage match type of a thing for me? Now, that said, the violence for violence sake is an interesting note for it's a comment in here. And I kind of felt that way. I lost my audio for a second. Starting with the Willow match a little bit. It felt like a latter stage, almost TNN era ECW show.
I love that match.
Okay, no, I liked the match, but I just meant you do that hardcore match, and then you get a hardcore angle in the Danielson thing, and then you get the cage match. It just felt like there was a lot more, you know, hardcore for hardcore stake stuff. You know, the syringe spot, to me, it's like, okay, is there something in the syringe? Do you have a sedative in there?
Yeah, we had an argument about this, and I don't think there was.
No, like, there wasn't. It was just, it was just, hey, it would be cool, and I'm willing to stick a needle in my mouth.
Yeah. And like But to me, okay, so I was having an argument with somebody, and it was in the Discord.
Of course you were. That's all the Discord is.
For people that want to get in the Discord and argue with me, email fightgg@fightgg.com.
I could probably guess who it was you were having the argument with, too, but I'm not going to. But
I will say who it is, because he's a doctor.
Okay.
And it was Preet Paul.
That's who I was going to guess.
And so he, but his thing was, well, you know, the cinder block, it wasn't that dangerous or whatever. It's like, okay, do you remember how Shawn Michaels missed 4 years of his career? He took a bump off the side of the casket. That's what this reminded me of.
Rick Rude ended his career taking a bump off the side of a ramp.
Davey Boy Smith pretty much ended his life by taking a bad bump in a ring just on the bad edge. Like, he ended up hooked on pink, you know, whatever. Like,
it's why we don't like people taking bumps off the edge of the apron of the ring, too.
Yes, so, but this was worse. Like, and he just got a few scratches.
Yeah, it wasn't a gimmick to block either.
And it's not the kind of thing where, you know, like, he might not feel it for a month. You know, and then one day he goes and picks up somebody to give him a suplex and his back gives out.
Yes.
You know,
I'm in agreement with
you. Yeah, so that one bugged me, and then the syringe. But I mean, you take those things out, and I did, like, I loved the match. I loved the intensity. I loved the fact that they seemed like they were legitimately trying to hurt each other. But yes. I think you can do that without legitimately trying to hurt each other.
Well, yeah, and that's the funny thing is, I know that this goes to my old school sensibilities and this goes to my favorite match ever. But yes, I mean, if you watch Tully and Magnum, the I Quit match, it's a fight inside that cage. And then the wooden chair is introduced and that becomes the only weapon involved. And they're both trying to kill each other with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all you need. You don't need to. Well, we just hit him with a chair. What else do we need? How about thumbtacks? How about
they could have brought like a chain in there. You know, that would have done the chain. I would have been fine with a chain.
I'm fine with one thing.
You know what I would have even been fine with? And this is what I was expecting, honestly.
Fire? Something fire related?
I was expecting a flaming table. Okay. I was expecting, you know, maybe what's going to happen is they're going to douse the table in gasoline. Stokely's going to light it from the outside as Swerve does like a swerve stomp onto Hangman. Like something like that.
Yeah.
Or Nana, yeah, sorry.
you're there the street.
Stokely
fight.
Was. Did you see Stokely out there in the main event today?
Yes.
What was that about?
He's going to manage one of these teams.
Oh God, I hope it's not MXM. I thought it was.
I hope it's not the Outrunners.
I was thinking it was going to be whoever was going to come out as the last entrant.
I was thinking there's going to be a surprise too, and then
I thought it would be the Hurt Business, and he was going to be with them, but. I'm glad it's not because I don't think that was a good fit, but we'll get into that later. So yeah, I still thought it was a very good pay-per-view. I was glad I bought it. You know, I've never seen a show with that many like quality matches on it, even though it was only an 8-match show. 7 of them I thought were like 4 stars or better, including the main event. Like I gave the main event, you know, like a really high rating because for what they were trying to do, it was great. It's just not what I like to see. So I'm honest with my ratings, even though I don't particularly enjoy it, if that makes sense.
Yes.
You know, like if I watched a horror movie that was really good, I would give it a good rating, but I'd hate it because I hate horror movies. So, you know, and that's kind of what this felt like.
Okay.
A horror movie. I'm reminded of a thing, and this pertains to the Moxley angle as well. John Moxley did an interview a few years back with, I think it was Garrett and Dave. It may have been something else, but he talked about how I think he was heading into like a death match with somebody. And he said, like, you know, there's matches out there that are like people call them like torture porn or whatever. And he said, like, that's what this is going to be. And we're not trying to entertain you. We're trying to make you feel uncomfortable. And if you don't like that, don't watch it. If you don't like horror movies, don't watch horror movies. If you don't like this, don't watch it. But don't complain about it afterwards. If you do, it's kind of what he said. And it really got me thinking, like, that's his mindset. You know, when it comes to this kind of stuff, like he's not doing this to be entertaining.
Yeah. But he's also a combat zone wrestling alum too. So,
mindset. That's his mindset. And we'll get into that today too. When we talk about the show.
Okay.
The other big news this week was, that rumors are, and I mean, we're hearing them from enough places. I think it may even be more than rumors at this point. There's a AEW applied for a term, AEW Shockwave, and everyone thinks it's going to be a new TV show, and that rumors are that it's going to be on either Fox or FS1. My guess would be FS1. Some people have real
FS1 or FS2. Yeah.
It's going to replace SmackDown on Fox. I don't think so.
No.
Anthony in our Discord had a great suggestion. He thought it might replace the SmackDown replay on FS1. That's not a bad call. If they're trying to get programming for that station, you know, like,
I'll tell you how out of it I am. I didn't know they replayed it on FS1.
I didn't. I mean, I kind of knew just because I think remember when they did the head to heads?
Yeah.
So the replay of FS1 ended up going head to head with the live airing of Rampage a few times. I think every week it does. So if they do that, they're going to be counter programming their own show, which, you know, whatever.
The Fox Sports channels are there for Saturdays in football season.
Yep. And other than that,
nobody, I mean, Skip Bayless has left town.
Yeah.
Shannon Sharpe's left town. The only thing still sticking around there is, I think, Colin Cowherd for the most part in terms of popularity.
Jim Rome, is he on there?
No, Rome's on Twitter exclusively now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he used to be on CBS. Well, no, I think it was he's on Twitter, and that might not be exclusive. He might also be on, but if he's on any broadcast channel simulcast, it's the CBS Sports Network.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Like,
which has taken all the poker and stuff away from, say, the Fox Sports and stuff. So,
or ESPN, or
ESPN, you know, they had it, and then they got outbid and all these other things. But Fox Sports was on the rise for a very short period of time, and then they just could not get a foothold anywhere. They tried to rebrand it as like an ESPN type stuff, but it just,
when they had UFC, they did good numbers.
But the question I have is for the people who were daydreaming about network.
Yeah.
What is your plan here to get people to grow that audience? Because I'm interested in their pitch, because it's one of those things where the pitch that they're doing would be working now if it was going to work, which is they want to sit people down and say, look at the athleticism of this wrestling. And it's so much better than WWE. And I think they kind of missed the boat on what normals who would watch wrestling would want to watch. And they like angles and dumb stuff. If they're going to watch wrestling, they're not looking to make their wrestling more highbrow. Let's put it that way.
If it's on FS1, I mean, okay, what's your audience? Like, and when I say what's your audience, like, how many people are going to watch it? Are you going to make it an important show and then you're going to have 100,000 people watching every week?
No.
I don't think that's smart.
I like the highlight show idea.
Yeah. Though. Well, we talked about it before the show. I thought maybe it's a highlight thing. Maybe it's the best matches of the week from Dynamite, Rampage, and Collision they put on there, and then maybe with like one or two new matches in between, so you have
and then drive viewers to the other programming. I think
kind of like what WWE Main Event is right now. You open with a match, then you show highlights, and it's all the big stars. Like, it, you know, you're getting Roman Reigns, you're getting Cody, you're getting Judgment Day, you're getting Liv and Dom.
But you're getting the angles from like both shows.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And then they close with another match.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the matches are nothing. Like, so the match would be, you know, like Ricochet against Tony Nese, you know, like, and then you show a bunch of angles, and then you close with, you know, whatever, like the Grizzled Young Vets. That'd be the
best show they do. If they
and then you close with Grizzled Young Vets against the Outrunners, you know, and that's it. That's your show.
And I would kill for that show.
Yeah. Well, and then you wouldn't even have to watch Dynamite and Rampage and Collision.
Perfect.
Just watch this show. Yeah.
All I need is an hour as opposed to five between the three other shows.
Maybe you have a couple features in the show where you do like top 10 moves of the week. And
you do
stuff
personality
like
profiles. And if they hit really well, you put them on your other shows.
It's like the great stuff from Twitter and YouTube and all that. You throw it on this show. So I could see that. Somebody, I believe in our Discord who, you know, sometimes has really good information.
But it's odd though, that like everybody has like this underpants gnome you know, plan to make AEW the biggest wrestling company in America, and it's not going to happen anytime soon, guys.
There's another option that has, a lot of people think it might be, and that would be rebranding Ring of Honor as AEW Shockwave, and then moving Ring of Honor to this new network. That, I mean, that's a possibility.
But where are we going to go for 4-hour Ring of Honor shows then?
We're not. We're going to do 1-hour Ring of Honor shows.
You know what?
Plus for everyone.
I would get rid, dude, I would get rid of all those Ring of Honor belts. The problem is there are people who have actually done things. Like Athena is a great champion right now. So
even I don't Briscoe, know. You know, they're
Briscoe's good. I wasn't knocking Mark Briscoe, but he's also been ported over. His they've actually done something with his popularity and ported it over to AEW Dynamite.
Dustin
and
Rhodes has great. Two belts over there.
Yeah,
you know, Red Velvet has a belt in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, if you don't watch 0 Hour, you have no idea about it.
Well, or the weekly show, which I do.
That's true.
Red Velvet is the
she's the secondary champion in there.
And Athena, the forever champ. I think she's a week away from breaking Samoa Joe's record for the longest reigning champion in Ring of Honor history.
She was challenging Samoa Joe on Twitter, from what I remember.
I don't think he's going to take that challenge, so she might win. She should just call herself the winner by forfeit, and that's it. So that was that's the news of the week. Let's get into the show. I did my homework before, and I checked up to see what this show did. So as per WrestleTix, 2,791 fans here in Lexington, which was down from 3,328 a year ago for Collision. So
apparently not a lot of local promotion for this.
Surprising.
This is Sean Ross Sapp Country. I believe he was at the show. Might be close to my future home.
Well, the funny thing is the OVW runs in that town.
Yes.
And they weren't talking about Dynamite on their show, which surprised me, because when Impact runs there, they talk about it on every show, which is weird.
There's probably a talent thing going on there, but
I mean that pop the Outrunners got, that's because of they were local.
Yeah. Like, oh, really? Yeah. They're local?
Well, they're on with WTV every week.
I didn't
believe it or not. They, as far as I know, and this is as of 2 weeks ago, so it may have changed.
Oh, I did not know that, Paul. That's good information, by the way.
They are not signed talents to AEW at this point. Now, this was as of 2 weeks ago. That may have changed.
I thought they were signed to at least Ring of Honor.
I don't believe so. Like per date, like, you know, they're not like All Elite. Okay. So they still are on OVW TV like almost every week. I wouldn't say every week, but I think OVW has the right of first refusal on their bookings.
It'd be fools.
Yeah, I'm sure they can get out of those deals.
I didn't realize they were OVW. Okay.
A group chat, and I send you stuff from it all the time.
Look,
don't have Erica Lee with them there. They had somebody else for a while, but she's not with them anymore.
Well, you know,
Layla Gray works there too.
Yes, I knew that.
Yeah, and then you know who else? I don't think you've seen him yet. Beef, who is on Ring of Honor, the former Gnarls Garvin.
Okay.
He's on OVW as well. So
and, they're in the Rupp Arena tonight, which is interesting because college has just gotten started, and you'd think hey, you know, I don't want to study.
Is that where Louisville plays?
No,
like the Cardinals?
No, University of Kentucky.
Oh, okay, the Wildcats.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. So yeah, so that was so they're down about 20% from Collision a year ago. So we start the show, and it's like this weird, like kind of weird filter on the camera. And it was a Jon Moxley promo, and he talked about how he's upset with Danielson. He said he doesn't have the stomach for this anymore. We set out to create something and you couldn't do it. Egos are out of control in this company and I can't take it anymore. Our mentor, referring to William Regal, called Bryan Danielson the perfect wrestler. He was always his favorite. He saw himself in me, and he said, I'm far from perfect. Guys like us are who we are. We can't pretend to be anything else. I'm no villain. I'm no hero. I know exactly why God put me here. I'm the one true king of these lands. We tried it your way. Diplomacy has failed. Today I choose war. And then he hopped in the back of an SUV for some reason.
Which did he weird. Say during the, was this the one where he also, I mean, I know he said later, but that this company is run by egos.
Yes.
Out of control egos. Okay.
Yeah, I believe so. Cause I was, yeah. Egos are out of control. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's two things that are, I mean, I saw a lot of praise for this promo and I thought it was good, but let's cut through the crap. He tried to murder Bryan Danielson on television. This is one of those angles in terms of, I mean, he murdered on a pay-per-view. Okay, fine. But nevertheless, Bryan Danielson is the world champion. This is one of those, you need to ask everybody who's on this show what they thought of that angle type of things to me that NWA used to do. I know that, like Brian and Vinny are going through the 1986, 87 angle with the Garvins.
Yeah, they just did that for like 2 weeks.
Did that for 2 weeks, but they asked everybody on that program what they thought of the Fireball, etc.
Moxley never even mentioned what he did to Danielson.
No, and that's the other problem. It's like, I mean, it's a law of physics type of thing. You need to have an equal and opposite reaction. I need to know why you tried to kill somebody in the BCC. That wasn't just a turn.
No.
Okay, that wasn't just a normal, ooh, I don't want to be your friend anymore because you're the champion and I want a shot at the title. That was brutal. That was death-defying.
And we're trying to take you out literally.
Yes, and I don't think they have... Well, I think they have an idea, but I don't think they have a real good reason yet. And I think that's why they never mentioned it. This should not be a mystery that we need to wait to see to solve type of a thing. He needs to say up front why he did that. And I think then after that, then everything goes downhill. I get the idea of having swerves and mysteries and ooh, because I think all roads lead to Shane McMahon. I still do. I think and the Nigel thing makes it even more interesting because all these guys were NXT related in terms of all this in terms of all this thing in a circle. So, but yes, you killed a guy. Everybody should be asking why you almost killed a guy. Yeah. And they should be asking everybody else, why do you think Mox tried to kill you? They should be asking Renee, why did Mox try to kill
Renee a guy? Renee doesn't give two shits about any of this.
Like, I am here backstage.
Yeah. So this all happens. Again, he hopped into an SUV, which was so weird because he didn't leave.
No. Like, well, that was I think that was supposed to have taken place after the angle at the pay-per-view.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I misunderstood.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
So the next thing we see is Darby skating into the arena in his pink sweater. And it looked like he was going into the building, like to be interviewed or something. He went through a door that said security. And then the next thing we see is Tony Schiavone in the ring. So I was like, oh, okay. He's going to call out Darby and we're going to hear from Darby.
I thought so too.
Yeah, no, he calls out the patriarchy
for sure.
Some reason. Yeah. And they showed highlights of Christian trying to cash in on Saturday. And of course he was thwarted. If you missed the pay-per-view, Moxley actually stopped him from,
The BCC came out before the turn.
Yeah.
And I thought they were in cahoots.
Yeah. They got rid of Christian. And then I guess Moxley was just wanting Danielson for himself. So he's, you know, he does his spiel, sit down, shut your mouth while I conduct my business. My son Nick told me the word on the street is that Christian Cage has infinite aura. I'm not sure what this was other than the fact that I feel like it's something people have been talking about on Twitter. The word aura, just for some reason, I think they had to say. Considering the fact I've carried this company on my back for the last year and a half, that's true. Now that I have this contract, it's undeniable. Our trios championships were stolen from us, but something interesting happened in the gauntlet match. Killswitch grabbed me and squeezed me by the neck, and I saw something I've been waiting to see for the last 2 years. A light bulb went off. He realized what he is and what I need him to be. A monster, a wrestling machine, I wrote. I think it was a wrecking machine. Yeah, a wrecking machine and a killer. And he belongs to me. And then Shivani reminded us that he tried to cash in, and he didn't. And the crowd's chanting Luchasaurus, and Christian gets mad at them, says, his name's Killswitch. And he said, I decided it wasn't the right time or place. Brian Danielson, make no mistake, your days are numbered. If you think being nearly suffocated was bad, so this is the first mention of what happened to him. It's nothing compared to what I'll do. In fact, Brian, I'll beat you so bad, you'll wish your wife Brie was the one with CTE, so she couldn't comprehend what an embarrassment you were as champion. I'm the face of TBS now and forever, and the reigning, defending, next AEW World Champion. And I should point out the contract that he's carrying around says next AEW World Champion on it. So, yeah. Okay, I was right here. Anthony points out Aura is the new wrestling Twitter buzzword. So, yeah, I thought there was something about that. What'd you think here?
Other than the CTE line, I really thought this was just a good old-fashioned professional wrestling promo.
Yeah, I had no issue with it.
And I think Christian's great at what he's doing, but the problem is he's in a company that is a little pretentious. Got to be honest with you. It's one of those things where they don't appreciate what Christian is doing in this heel act, quite frankly. They want to see their flippy-do guys and whatnot. So it's, you know, it's... I enjoyed it. Let's put it that way.
I one thing I liked here, because I think, believe it or not, there's still some confusion over whether or not this is a Money in the Bank thing, and or whether or not, like, obviously on the pay-per-view that was made clear, but if you missed the pay-per-view, people think that it was no, he can just announce when he's going to have his world title match, so he can decide, oh, I'm going to have it at Grand Slam, I'm going to have it at WrestleDream, whatever. No, this is a Money in the Bank, and he made it very clear
here. In the promo, he basically says, I can come down there, sign the contract, and then go have my match right there. Yeah,
and it seems like they're putting the Killswitch churn on the back burner here again, which means that they'll probably just do it at some point, and it'll be a shock. But it'll be long-term storytelling.
No one will care by that time, so it'll be fun. True.
Yeah. I was just reading something, and this was like in February, and they were talking about how one of the big plans for 2024 was to make Luchasaurus a massive babyface.
Clock's ticking, kids.
Yeah, so far. I should point out here as well, Kip Sabian, for some reason, was in the crowd.
You know what? This feels like a Kip Sabian heel turn.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like
this feels
like when he was in the crowd for like 6 months with a bag on his head.
Yes, that too.
Yeah.
Or like he's this is how they do all Kip Sabian angles. He's like hanging out somewhere for like weeks. And everybody just kind of looks at him and goes, what the hell do you want?
And then eventually just gets his ass kicked.
And then he just gets his ass kicked. And then he's, it's just, no.
So we go backstage to Remarkable Renee, the aforementioned.
Kip Sabian is all elite, but the Outrunners aren't. Okay.
Well, as of a couple weeks ago.
Life's not fair.
Remarkable Renee is with Will Ospreay, Don Callis, Kyle Fletcher, and Konosuke Takeshita. And Callis said he appreciated him, and he wanted to talk to him, and he said, a great idea. You've won every casino gauntlet match you've been in. Tonight there's one for a shot at the tag team belts. So he asked him, can you team with Kyle Fletcher? And Ospreay says, I got a lot on my shoulders. I got to defend this belt. And then Callis reminded him, well, you owe me a favor, so I'm calling it in. And then Fletcher says, I'm so tired of coming close but not getting it done. No one knows me better than you. We've teamed in four different countries, and there's no one I want to win those tag team belts more than you. So Ospreay agrees to it. Takeshita is not happy at all, and he squares off, and he just kind of stared off with Ospreay as the scene was ending. I thought for sure, like after watching this, that Kyle Fletcher was going to turn on him in the match. I assume it's going to happen at Grand Slam.
It's going to happen at Grand Slam. They've been pushing it off. It was supposed to happen a few weeks ago, I think. But I mean, this is a good way to get back around to it. Maybe they just forgot that they were going to turn him. But
yeah, Takeshita was like, I think he was upset that why am I in this tag team match? Like, but
true. Yeah. But it paid off later.
Yeah. It was. I mean, they're obviously building something for him, which is cool.
Yeah.
Jack Perry arrived in a small bus, same one as Saturday. And
this is the one he also drove. This was also the same kind of vehicle he drove. There was like a hardcore match he was in.
Oh,
this is what he was in as well. But I just
at Double or Nothing, right?
Yeah, I think so.
The one and before that. Okay, so when he did the entrance on at All Out, I was like, I couldn't understand what the hell is going on.
Yes, for some reason he's all elite, but he likes driving an airport shuttle.
Yeah. Well, these are in my workplace, they use these to transport people with special needs to their day programs. So yeah,
perfect for Jack Perry. No.
Yeah. So yeah, he shows up and he leaves the car running, I guess, the back.
Well, and he turns it off. It may not turn back on, judging from that tailpipe and the exhaust coming out of it.
And this, yeah, they showed the exhaust. Like, this thing is like...
This thing is a heap.
Yeah, it's not in great shape. So we get Jack Perry and Lio Rush for the TNT title, which, if you were surprised that this match was happening, join the club. I think they announced it the day before on X. And how did Lio Rush earn a TNT title shot? Got me. I don't think I've ever seen Lio Rush win in AEW.
Must have been that showing in that four-way.
Yeah, I don't know. But Perry attacked him for the bell. Didn't even take off his jacket at first. Finally, he does. Excalibur at this point finally tells us where Bryan Danielson is. He's home recovering, and Wheeler Yuta is with him. Fans are singing Cry Me a River. Action Andretti came out there with Lio. Now, keep in mind, Lio Rush is a babyface. Action Andretti is interfering left, right, and center. He's attacking Jack Perry at every instance. And then finally, Aubrey Edwards has had enough, and she tosses him. Jack Perry's celebrating like a babyface. Action Andretti is claiming he wasn't interfering, even though he blatantly was. I don't know what the hell this was.
And that was the payoff to the line at the beginning of the match where Aubrey Edwards was called by the Young Bucks into their office earlier today.
Yes.
I thought that was for something later or for something bigger.
No.
Nope, it was for Action friggin' Andretti.
Oh, my God. Like, oh,
you gotta be kidding me.
Crowd cheered when he got tossed. So then they go back to the match. Lio hits a Spanish fly. Perry lawn darted him in the turnbuckle for two. Here during this match, they ran down what's going to happen on this card, but with no graphics. So like, I think it was last week or the week before, I was so happy at the beginning of the show, they ran down the whole card with like graphics and everything. It was so great. And here it's now, it's just back to the usual. And, Excalibur also pointed out, we're going to hear from John Moxley later in the show, even though we already did hear from John Moxley.
Yeah, I saw you.
And we didn't hear from him later in the show. So, I guess we kind of did. Yeah, he was out there twice. Like, he was out there once with Pac, and then he was out there again with Darby. So, I guess technically they were right there. Reverse roundo by Lio, but he was too hurt to cover. Then Perry mocked Danielson's yes chance and hit him with a Busaku knee from out of nowhere and got the pin.
All I could think during this match was Lio Rush in a suit.
Yeah.
As the young boy in the Elite, as opposed to Jack Perry.
I was remembering him with the Hurt with Bobby.
Oh, Lashley. He was great with Lashley. Don't get me wrong, but imagine his cockiness.
Oh, like a cocky, yeah. Like a business manager.
Yes. Yeah. Well, not even a business manager. As the guy that wasn't Jack, that they made Jack Perry into.
Wasn't
Lio Rush, if he wasn't such a malcontent at times, would have been a much better guy for this.
An angle like that, like originally when he was in AEW?
Yes. Almost
positive. Yeah, he was like an investment guy.
And he was investing in a member of Top Flight, who he ended up with again.
You're right. Yeah. All right.
They just want to stick this guy with Top Flight all the damn time. That's the deal.
Excalibur pointed out it was his third title defense, so good for him. Alex Marvez found Jack Perry backstage. He says, people like me are crucified in this life so they can be worshipped in the next. And then he got in his bus and left.
You know, somebody had a really good point. It's tape machines or wiretap. I can't remember which one on Twitter, but they go, we've had three promos on this show and everybody's kind of, it's also includes the Pac one. It's like between Pac, Perry and Moxley, there's a lot of Raven-esque promos on this show, kind of talking in riddles, etc.
Well, the one thing I meant to say during the Moxley thing, and I'll bring it up in the POC thing again, we're back to, AEW sucks.
The company?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
no. I was gonna bring that too. They're making the company the bad guy again when all heels run the company.
Yeah.
In story, except for Tony Khan.
But these heels are telling you the show you're watching sucks and we're going to fix it. Like that's the storyline. and people are cheering that.
Yes.
So, yeah.
That's true. It's been a 3-year story that AEW is broken.
Yes, and we're here to fix it. So now it used to be MJF, now it's Jon Moxley, and it's the Bucks.
We have a company. We have a company with low self esteem.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Raven, right? All right. Highlights of the main event from Saturday. I skipped them, but Renee was backstage with Hangman. He says, "I burned his house. I stabbed a syringe." Or she says, "You burned his house. You stabbed a syringe in your face. In his face. What's next?" And he says, "If I found 1,000 houses,
actually, no, it was Paige that was the third promo that was talking all the Raven stuff. This one here, yes,
you're right. Okay, if I found 1,000 houses that Swerve called home, I'd have burned them all. If the cage couldn't have been raised, I'd have spent an eternity in pain trying to punish him for everything he did to my family. I meant everything I said and did to him. Every drop of blood I stole from him. Make no mistake, I meant it. And now I speak to all of you. If you got in my way." If you stood between he and I and you tried to protect Swerve from me, I will find you and I will hurt you. And then he walks away. Renee starts screaming. What are you doing? He hit somebody. I have no idea who it was.
Backstage dude.
I think it was a wrestler. I just don't know who it was.
It looked a lot like the guy that's with the Iron Savages, but it wasn't.
He wrestled later, so I don't think it was him.
No, it wasn't. It was just some backstage. It wasn't anybody of note. Let's put it.
But then he runs into the Dark Order, and Evil Uno, who is a heel now.
Well, no. Before that, he kind of passes by Top Flight and Layla Gray.
Oh yeah,
dressed in their costumes.
Yeah, which they weren't later. So they walk around backstage.
They just thought Layla Gray looked good in that outfit, didn't they? They just wanted to put her on screen. Yeah. And that was for me, and I appreciate that. Good job, maybe guys. Maybe it was
a pre-tape. So Evil Uno says, "I don't know who you are." And then before Hangman can get in his face, he runs into Jeff Jarrett. Jarrett says, "My family's promoted wrestling for 3 generations. You may be going the extra mile, but it ends up with you full of guilt, shame, remorse, and regret. And you're going to regret the day you laid hands on my wife. You'll find out that the toughest, most ruthless son of a bitch is the man in the mirror." And then they started brawling, and Hangman tossed him into a bunch of chairs.
Hangman,
a bunch of people got in between them.
Hangman stiffed him on that first shot, I think.
He did. I guess this is leading to another match.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is going to be the feud where Jeff tries to... Actually, you know what? This is where Jeff tries, as the last outlaw, Jeff Jarrett, tries to talk Hangman back to the light side. Probably doesn't there.
Who else got in his way? I can't remember.
It was Top Flight and Layla. It was the Dark Order.
I mean, like, who got in his way that he has revenge on now? That tried to stop him from getting that Swerve. Do you know?
Might be the Elite.
I was thinking. Yeah.
Remember when they yelled at him to get in the?
I think we might be getting an Elite face turn coming at some point. Because, I mean, the heel turn isn't working. They already cheer Okada. Perry was a babyface tonight.
Was he? I guess.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, look at him celebrating.
They might baby the Elite to go against this new BCC. Yes. That would be ridiculous.
When Action Andretti was tossed, Jack Perry was celebrating like a babyface. And yeah. Oh, my God.
Jarrett's awesome in this, but
so this will be another, like, it's probably a Dynamite match maybe next week, and it'll be awesome, I'm sure. Maybe
are they in Tupelo, Mississippi at any point?
I have no idea. Future? I think they're in Dayton, Ohio next week.
Oh god.
And then the Grand
worst city on earth, Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, at Crap Game 13 on next.
Defend yourselves, Dayton, Ohio, because I've been there and it's boring as hell. No, continue.
So we get Private Party's entrance. And they come out there, and they're out there with, I think it was Commander.
It was Commander and Alex Abrahantes.
Okay. And then there's 3 blokes in the corner who they don't identify. One of them was John Cruz, who is actually Serpentico.
Serpentico, yes.
Yeah. And before this match can start, they didn't even get ring intros. They're attacked by Pac, Marina, Claudio, and Mox.
Hold on right there. Number one, good. That was a welcome sight. Number two... When did Private Party turn babyface again?
I mean, they back and forth.
That's what I figured. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Them teaming with
their only heels against Top Flight, I guess. Sure. Yes.
Marina choked out Commander for a long time. Pac did a promo, and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're going to be very patient, but enough is enough. This company is broken." See, this is what I'm talking about. "What happened Saturday All Out was inevitable. We are inevitable, a product of this festering environment. I've been very lost, but very long, not anymore. I've got something to believe in, a purpose. Diplomacy has failed. This company is ours." And Mox and Marina are still in the ring with Commander's body, and one of Private Party's still there too. And Mox left through the crowd, and Marina followed him. And that was that.
We're taking over.
Yeah. Yeah. Shane McMahon, here comes the money.
I'm sorry. I don't want it to be true, but everything in my gut says, yeah, we're bringing it. Because again, the conspiracy will grow as we move on. But yeah.
Well, that was another wild card idea that somebody had for Shockwave. Was it was going to be like a fight club. And this is going to be like Moxley's playground.
No.
Yeah, I don't like it no. either. But yeah,
I don't want Josh Barnett's blood sport every week.
And then Shane McMahon could be the one that got them the Fox deal in storyline.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I thought this was good and short and to the point. It was fine.
Chris Jericho arrived in a car with a high guy's license.
Oh, hold on. It was also another opportunity to say why you tried to murder Bryan Danielson and you didn't.
Nope. So Chris Jericho arrives in a car, and he had posted something somebody forwarded me like about 5 minutes before the show started. He had bought a car in Lexington. He's got a license plate that says "Hi guys."
He has now tried to trade. He is now trademarking that.
Hi, oh, great.
Good, yeah. Good, so, man. So shirts coming.
Yep. So he's wearing his Rune jacket, and he says, "Hi guys, today's a glorious day. I brought my brand new Bentley convertible. Got my best students with me, Bad Apple and the
Redwood.
The Redwood, yeah. And I'm wearing my $7,000 jacket that Orange Cassidy ruined. Orange, that's why I took your backpack as collateral." Says the money wasn't in there, because a lot of people on X pointed out that Orange said the money would be in there, and Jericho was an idiot for not looking. So he had to point that out. And then he said something else was inside, and I'm going to show everyone what it was and is later tonight. So then Big Bill has a message from the learning tree. Thou who does not pay his debts must suffer the consequences. And then, of course, he pauses. And then Brian Cage says, "Suffer the damn consequences." And
Brian Keith this week started to kind of walk off, and then kind of remembered he had to take his beat. And
yeah. Then, and then because that's how you get to Jericho saying, "Bye, guys."
Yes.
And they left the car there, which angle alert in the middle of an
Dante's Bentley. Yes.
Empty parkade. It's like there's no one within 1,000 miles of this car. So yes. Keep that in mind for later. It's what do they call it? Chekhov's something or other.
Chekhov's gun.
Yeah, Chekhov's gun.
That's why I call the Chekhov's Bentley.
Speaking of stuff that you didn't know was coming, Ricochet versus Sammy Guevara. Now you know Ricochet's from Kentucky, right?
Paducah, to be exact. Yeah. Yes.
So they had booked this show, I'm presuming, months ago. They signed Ricochet. They debuted him at All In, which is great. They came in the Casino Gauntlet.
And where did they say he was hailing from?
I don't remember.
Oh, I do.
Oh, what'd they say?
Hailing from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, whatever. So they did that. And then for some reason, they put him in a match on the following Dynamite against Kyle Fletcher with no promotion at all. You could have put Kyle Fletcher in there with anybody on that show.
Yes.
And not put Ricochet on Dynamite for a couple weeks. You could have promoted this for 3 weeks. Hey, we're going to be in Lexington on September 11th, and Ricochet is going to be there in his first Dynamite match. They could have been promoting that for like 2 or 3 weeks, and maybe they would have sold some tickets. Maybe you would have had some WWE fans that hear about it. Hey, Ricochet's in AEW now. I'm going to check it out. But no, they announced it on Twitter yesterday. And here we are, Ricochet and Sammy Guevara. Why? I don't know. So we get this match. He gets loud chants to start. The match is a minute old, and they're brawling up the ramp. After Ricochet did a bunch of flips in the ring, Sammy tossed him into the tunnel. does a super kick to him, climbs up the tunnel, does his crazy sign, and does a moonsault off the top and jacked up his knee. We're 2 minutes into this match at this point. Then they go to commercial. They come back, and the fans are chanting Flip Forever. And the announcers tell us that Darby and Mox are in the building, and they're talking about that angle. So clearly they're telling you, you know, what you're watching, don't worry about this. The important stuff's coming. Moxley and Darby are here. We're going to hear from them. This match is just here to bide your time. And so they do a bunch of stuff and, you know, whatever. They're all doing great moves. And Sammy has been a babyface in Ring of Honor. He's tag team champions with Dustin. But, like, I think he was a heel here. The fans were booing him. But, you know, by the end, he was a babyface.
He has not been on AEW television as a babyface. So
he's not been on AEW television, period.
Well, if you count the 0 hours from All In and All Out. Okay.
I don't.
So, in terms of actual broadcast television, he has not been a baby. He has not been on television since he left as a heel when he was
Callis.
When he was part of the Don Callis family. Yeah. What was
that, February?
Well, actually, no, they did that turn thing real quick.
No, I think he left as a baby face. As a heel.
Yeah, he left as a baby face.
Did he leave as a babyface? Okay.
I think so. Yeah, because they did that.
Oh, right, because they were going to have him turn.
And then, oh, no. And then he turned like 2 weeks later or something, but wasn't as part of the Callis family anymore.
Oh, my God. So anyways, they do this match. They do a bunch of great stuff or whatever.
It's
fine,
but what do we think of Ricochet here? Because this was a Sammy Guevara highlight reel.
Well, it was, but then Ricochet was trying to do some stuff, so he took forever to set up a springboard off of a barricade because he was trying to get fans to get out of the way because he didn't want to hurt them. This is AEW. Don't worry about the fans. Just do your move. Then he does a springboard dive in the ring, running shooting star press for two. That guy, this is awesome chance. I think it was Sammy did the yes kicks, or it might have been Rick. No, I think it was Sammy, because that's where I was wondering, like, what is he doing? Like, so he's doing the Danielson yes kicks and getting no reaction. Sammy rolled him up and he pulled the tights for two. Then he hits a code red. Then then he hits a top rope cutter on Ricochet, got a two. AEW chance there. Sammy went for a shooting star press. Ricochet got out of the way. Sammy hit him with a jumping knee. Tried for the go to hell, but Ricochet blocked it. Hit a roundhouse and then a stomp and hit the vertigo for the win. And I thought he looked better here than he did against Kyle Fletcher.
Yes.
But, you know, they're going to try and top the Pac match with Will at some point, and they're not going to do it.
No.
Like, Ricochet is not as good as Pac. Like, you ask me what I think about Ricochet, he's not as good as Pac. That's my takeaway.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's like it's so weird because they brought him, and he's immediately, I mean, it's so funny because the whole narrative was, oh, he's going to come in, he's going to be able to do what he wasn't able to do in WWE.
I mean, he is. He's doing some stuff.
He is right at the same level, though, was in WWE. Yes. There's no, he's going to be a bigger star.
He's not going to be beating Ospreay. He's not going to be beating Ospreay.
He's not going to be that, as Dave Meltzer says, can't miss prospect. That he thought he was and he would be eventually.
I mean, maybe if he would have come in 2019, he would have been.
No.
But he probably not, no.
No, he's Evan Bourne with more charisma.
Oh, way more. I mean, he's way better than that.
Yeah, but, I know, but still, yeah. He's at that level.
He's at the level of Sammy Guevara, really. Like, yes. You know, like, but he beat Sammy, so that what does that tell you? Sammy's younger, so he's got more of an upside, but. And then Excalibur reminded us that Ricochet told him at the pay-per-view he's got to pick up some wins if he wants to challenge for the title. And before you know it, he gets attacked by Mortos.
Hell yeah.
And Sammy made the save with a chair, offered Ricochet a handshake, congratulating him for the win. So I assume if it hasn't been announced already, we're going to get Ricochet and Mortos on Collision.
Probably. Put over Mortos.
We're not putting over Mortos.
No, Mortos won a match in this frigging company?
Plethora, we'll get to this, but the answer is there wasn't one.
There wasn't an explanation.
Yeah, Claudio's explanation.
We've been clowning on this all night.
And, yeah. And we got some highlights of the Stat Willow match we talked about earlier. It was a great match, so that was good. Then we get an Okada backstage interview, and he starts off by talking about how hard it was, and then he basically tells her he lied. It was the easiest night of my life. Callis showed up, told him he didn't beat Takeshita. Okada says he's a future champion, but he's never going to be continental champion. And then he leaves and he comes back and he says, bitch.
I howled. I howled at this. I knew it was coming, and it still popped me.
And he squared off with Takeshita. We're going to get that match. That's going to be awesome.
I love Okada's terrible acting in the beginning.
Yes. Yeah.
It was it was fantastic, terrible acting.
He's a perfect team with Monet. he's just as bad.
It was the hardest match of my life. It was easy.
Ricochet's biggest flaw is its size, and that he has the speaking ability of George McFly. Come on, Crispin Glover's a lot better than that.
What his biggest flaw? No.
No, he's a vacuum of charisma.
He's a vacuum of charisma, exactly. He is a vortex of charisma.
Yeah. All right. There we go. This I think would be a polarizing segment. Darby's out. And then he says, You want me? I'm here. So out comes Mox with Marina. And he says, I don't know what you think you saw. Nothing has changed between me and you. Darby says, there's a lot I want to talk about. We both came from nothing and we'll stop at nothing to make sure we never go back there. Everything I owned, I could fit in the trunk of my car. Everyone says, Darby, slow down. You're not going to be able to wrestle when you're 40. AEW gave me everything. I want to tell you a story. I looked for a hero. Every time I thought I found them, they showed me how fake they were. Those people showed me their dignity could be bought. But not you, John. Now stop here. I thought he was going to say you did sell your dignity by going to WWE, but apparently he didn't. Which I think is a key part of the story. But anyways, he says, you didn't change for anyone. Yes, he did. He became Dean Ambrose and he became a corporate sellout. But anyways, that's when I knew I wanted to be like you. You wrestle in high schools because you love the industry. Where did we meet? It was in a high school gym. I was so nervous. I wrestled my hero. I lost, but I gained the confidence that I belonged in the ring with someone like you. When you find someone that you consider family, what you did to Brian, I would never do to that family, like Sting. And what do you want, John? Why are you calling me out? And Moxie says, my man.
You know, he could have started with that.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, he had to do some exposition.
Yes.
My man, you have a world title shot in the bank at Grand Slam on September 25th, but that's not going to happen. The world champ is indisposed. Keep this in mind, by the way.
I don't even think he said did he say indisposed or incapacitated? That's what I wrote. I thought he said incapacitated.
He may have said incapacitated. I wrote indisposed. Either way.
Yes, this
the whole premise here is Bryan Danielson is not
cleared to wrestle. He's not able to be there.
Yes. Yeah, which is bad enough because clearly it's a storyline.
Yes.
But whatever. This is one thing. Okay, fine. Bryan Danielson's not wrestling. We did an angle, whatever. So now we're going to get this instead. It's false advertising. It sucks, but whatever.
It's fine, though, in terms of, okay, now we have a main event with stakes, et cetera, et cetera. Until a segment a few times later, which we'll get to, but yes.
So Continue. This is a blessing in disguise. He says, you're not ready. You weren't ready 5 years ago. You weren't ready 2 years ago. You're not ready today. So I want you to hand over that title shot to me. Darby says, what are you, stupid? Do you fall on your head? Are you drinking again? He says, you sound like everyone you hate. You didn't earn this, John. I earned it, and I'm not just going to give it to you. You want it? Do something about it. So Moxie says, you want me to earn it? Darby, my man, I will earn it. Me and you, New York City Grand Slam, September 25th. Your world title shot on the line. I'll show you exactly where you stand on the food chain, which is very far below me. You'll never be AEW world champion. I've always known this and I've loved you. I've always had your back. And it was here where I was reminded, and I don't know if you remember this. Remember before Sting? Like Darby and Mox were like a thing. They were at each other's sides. Like I totally forgot about this. They probably should have brought it up. Yeah, well, they kind of did here, I guess. But he says, I don't have time to explain everything to you. You have no idea what's going on. That title shot is going to be mine, and I'm going to teach you that lesson the hard way. So Darby says, Grand Slam, I accept. I don't know what you're trying to do. If you want to burn AEW to the ground, don't be surprised when I pull you into the fire. So
Babyface bringing up the heel's substance abuse problem.
And his concussion history and whatever else.
I was liking the promo and then that line hit. I just, ugh, no.
Yeah. And then when this happened, I mean, it was pretty clear very quickly where they were going, but just the idea of when this match happened, this casino, was it Casino Gauntlet or was, yes. No, it was the Rampage Royal Rumble or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
And we all thought it was so dumb at the time. Like, you're booking a match. And that was the week the tickets went on sale. So they sold tickets telling you, oh, if you buy tickets, you're going to see Darby Allin challenging for the AEW World title. And
then he went on to lose a TNT title match the next time.
Yes, he did. And then he got the TNT title match the same week. Okay. And then he lost that. And then we're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. He's challenging for the world title. And then, but he wasn't going to be challenging for the world title. Like it.
Then now he's going to lose his world title shot here.
I think he's going to win.
See, I think he's going to lose and eventually win it back when he saves Danielson from Moxley.
Could be,
and
maybe.
Claudio and company.
But then, yeah, you blatantly false advertised. And then again, yeah, you're saying, oh, Brian Danielson's not cleared. Okay, fine.
Yes, I can accept that. Yes.
Yeah, you're doing an injury angle. You're going to postpone it for a couple weeks and have the match at Wrestle Dream and Danielson's Market, where they should have had the match to begin with. Like, really, this should have been the title shot at Wrestle Dream. You know, like Darby in his hometown. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. But
yeah.
Anyways, so Mox Marina left through the crowd again, and we go backstage to Alex Marvez, and he's with Christopher Daniels, and says, Darby's putting up his world title shot at Grand Slam. Daniel said it's unnecessary. Nigel showed up, and he said he wanted a word with TK, and he's going to want to hear me. So this is where I figured out that they're doing Nigel and Danielson at Grand Slam. Tony Schiavone says they don't trust him. Then Excalibur does this, I don't know, 10-second thing about remembering 9/11. And then they go to the video wall, and I thought, oh, okay, they're going to do a nice little video package like WWE would do to remembering 9/11, all the... Nope, wow. Mariah May. Yeah, it's like, why'd they even bother? You know, it's like, at some point, Tony Schiavone or Tony Khan, oh, shit, it's 9/11. We better do something. Like, right?
You know, I don't need... You know, WWE needs to do it because of the Zelina Vega.
Well, not only that, but they got 3 hours to kill.
Yes, well, so, that, but I mean, they have an employee who has a personal. Like
they didn't have
connection.
To do that Johnny Gaudreau thing, but you know.
No, but that was nice
of
them too.
Beautiful, it was awesome.
But I mean, you know, it's important for Zelina, so I get that, and also because they still have a lot of goodwill to make up for the time they did their after the actual 9/11, where Stephanie McMahon comes on and talks about her father and the steroid trial.
Compares them to the heroes that you know, the first responders, the guy that stopped the hijackers, and my dad.
I thought this was it's the thought that counts, but it came off so awkward. It came off awkward, especially when it's Excalibur doing it, not Tony Schiavone.
Well, it's the thought that counts, and there was almost no thought.
There wasn't.
That's the problem.
Hey, we got about 15 seconds here. Let's do a 9/11 tribute. It wasn't even that touching either.
It's just it was just,
this thing happened 23 years ago. Let's have a moment of silence. And now Mariah May.
Yeah, Mariah May. And Queen Aminata. Speaking Hawkins, of matches.
Hawkins'
that
favorite Queen Aminata out here.
They could have announced this last week.
Yeah.
Mariah May wasn't on the pay-per-view. Queen Aminata wasn't on the pay-per-view. I don't know why, but
give me a hype package of some kind. Yeah, Next week, title eliminator, Mariah May, Queen Aminata, 15-second promos, and make it a draw. Come on.
Better yet, have Queen Aminata beat someone and make it a title shot. But Mariah was having a harder time with her ring gear than she was with the Queen. Mariah kissed her, drop kicked her. Aminata's all taped up in the back. Oh, did you notice? Okay, there was like at least 4 or 5 times in the show where they were doing something, and then all of a sudden, like the picture skipped. Like, did you see that? Or maybe it was just a TSN thing, but it was almost like it was taped and the tape was jumping. Like, it was weird. And it happened in this match too. I wrote it down, but if anybody else saw it, let me know. But
I didn't notice it, but you might be correct.
It could have just been a TSN thing too. But, anyways, they go to break, they come back, crowd's just completely dead. They were like, maybe it's, you know, because we watched Ricochet earlier and all that.
Well, it's not just that, they didn't let Aminata get some shine with her biggest asset, which is those thunderous chops that kill people.
Yeah, but they're also like, they're just, everything they did was so deliberate.
Yes, it was very choreographed.
Yeah, and then eventually it got okay. Amanada hit a couple release suplexes. That got the crowd a bit. May hit a running boot. Fans are chanting Amanada. Mariah hit a draping DDT for two. The Queen hit a body slam. She went to the top rope, missed a stomp. Mariah hit a shotgun dropkick, running knee. Storm Zero got the win. And crowd kind of popped a little bit. And then she grabbed a mic, lied down on the mat, starts writhing around like Tony. And then she says, I still haven't had my AEW Women's World Championship celebration. Well, they've advertised it like three times. And every time you say that you don't want to do it in whatever town you're in. But and the announcers actually pointed that out. She said, something's missing. Someone is missing. Mina Shikara, please come back. I could swear she's been back, but maybe I'm remembering.
She was backstage for that one segment.
Okay, I'm seeing her on Ring of Honor.
Where she said she hadn't talked to anybody.
Right, right.
But she's in America.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, she's there. So, but crowd reacted to nothing. Like, they don't care about any of this. They want Tony.
Yes. But,
yeah.
Yeah, that's the other problem here is that Mariah is still doing the Tony.
Yeah.
Moves as opposed to really striking out on her own and making her own character here, which is going to be the death of her reign, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not hitting too well. And she's a good wrestler. Like, and her performances are fine. It's just not clicking. That's all.
I'd get her a manager possibly too.
Mm, yeah.
But there's nobody on this roster.
Harley.
Oh, Harley and Mariah May would explode my brain with endorphins. Oh God.
So, all right. We go backstage. Bucks are standing by. They tell whoever's filming to film us. Says, when we started this company, we wanted to have the greatest tag division of all time, but it turns out we were just talking about ourselves. We are the division. He said, most execs would be settled into their cozy jobs, taking meetings, but we're still here doing all the heavy lifting. Fans are outraged. They said, maybe you should be mad at all the tag teams that aren't good enough to replace us. We're telling the truth. We booked this tag team casino gauntlet match tonight to see if there's anyone that could step up and get a shot at the greatest tag team of this generation. Whoever wins it will face us at Grand Slam, and we're going to be out there watching live. So again, they just basically told us the tag division sucks. Like, that was the whole point.
They shouldn't have buried the tag division. They should have said, we're putting everybody in the tag division in this match to run you out and to wear you out and because we're mean guys as opposed to everybody sucks.
And by the end of by about halfway through this casino gauntlet, I'm like, man, the Bucks were right. This division, oh my God.
I think too many people were expecting a surprise.
Yeah, and the surprise was there's no surprise.
And actually, I came into this thinking, are we getting into the match now or is that later?
No, it's later yet.
Yeah, okay, so I'll wait.
All right. We got a video package for some reason on Saraya and Jamie Hayter.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, just to kill some time. Learning Tree and Iron Savages. So we got highlights of the jacket being ruined again. I think they showed this last week. Then they showed highlights of them taking out a Shii, which was a thing from Rampage. So he's back in Japan. And this match was nothing. Jericho wrestled in his jacket. He did nothing. Tagged in Bill. Fans chanted meat. Somewhere, Brian Keith hit the Diamond Dust, which I guess is his finisher that I've never seen in my life. And he hit it on the manager and tagged in Jericho, and Jericho pinned him with the pose. So this was all basically just to set up the post-match angle. And Jericho reminded us of the ruined jacket 4 years ago. He says, Orange, I want my $7,000 back. I keep feeling like you're not going to give it to me, but I'm going to keep taking your things. I looked through your backpack. There's no money, but I found something interesting. A picture of you with your former best friends. And he pulls out this thing and he's all bloody and he's with Trent and Chuck and Chris Statlander. He says, now, Orange, this is your problem. You're still obsessed with friendship, but let me give you a lesson from the learning tree. There's no friends in wrestling. This was so great. If you think you have a friend, you're probably being used. Big Bill looks at him like, oh, wait a second. And Brian Keith is like, he knows. Like, Brian Keith he wasn't surprised one bit by this. Like, he knows he's being
used. He's a bounty hunter.
He doesn't know his thing. But Bill was like, I thought he was my friend. And
I think they're starting to turn.
Yeah, they are. They are. But he says, let me give you a lesson from the learning tree. Oh, no, like, sorry. So, yeah, I wrote Bill glared at him. So he says, take your hands out of your pocket. Pull your head out of your ass. I want my cash, Orange. I want my cash, Orange Cassidy. You're going to give me that cash. So we go backstage. And, of course, Orange Cassidy's there. And he says, hi, tree. He says, I do have your $7,000. And he reaches into his pocket. And he's got, like, $3. He says, I don't really have it all on me. My boys are bringing the rest of your cash. And then we cut to Mark Briscoe and Kyle O'Reilly in a dump truck. And they dumped,
I'd say about 7,000 pennies, not 7,000.
I was going to say it was about $100.
Yeah, it was about $100 a penny.
Except they weren't all pennies. Because when they focused on them, you saw various coins.
They were emptying change jars in the neighborhood.
Probably, most of the coins, I don't think, were even American. There were some weird ones in there.
Some like putt-putt tokens, you know, some David Busters things.
Yeah. So they dumped these coins on this car. I think the idea was it was going to destroy the car. Jericho sold it like they destroyed the car. I don't think there was a scratch on this car. I don't know how Mark Briscoe did it, like where he dumped these coins and they did no damage. Like, not, I don't think there was a scratch. Like,
those coins scratched. Which made me think if this was a Bentley rental,
that maybe. But did they?
I wasn't sure if they were, because a lot of them fell onto the windshield and the front of the car. I didn't see
any scratches. So maybe
I thought they were supposed to fit them all in the Bentley.
Now they need lot more coins. Like, yeah. The windshield was destroyed. John says, okay, I missed that. So it would have been 700,000 pennies is what they needed.
Yes, there, and Tony Khan should have been able to hit every bank in town.
Or just got quarters. You know, like, you know,
just get quarters.
That would be what? 7,000 would be 28,000 quarters. That would be enough to do some damage.
Yeah.
But whatever. So then Orange Cassidy walks up to the thing, pulls the bill out of his pocket, grabs a couple coins, and okay, that should cover it. And yeah, cute. And the fans, like, no reaction to this, like zero.
This was a Stanford playbook.
Yeah, this was dumb.
I agree.
Well, no, because Stanford, I think they would have done it. I think
they would have destroyed the car.
They would have destroyed the car, and it would have been 700,000.
See, that's why I was thinking they were trying to be very careful with the paint job and what.
Yeah,
happened. I think they probably rented this Bentley and said, "Well, it's probably not in our budget."
Yeah. So they had promised that we were going to do the Casino Gauntlet match next, but instead we get Nigel in the ring and he's got something to get off his chest. So he says, with Darby Allin putting his world title opportunity on the line at Grand Slam, there's not going to be an AEW world title match. Let's be honest. It's great for the champion. I think he's strapped to an iron lung, gasping for air like Justin Roberts was when he got choked out. This got no reaction. The fans have no idea what the hell he's talking about.
Right.
Because it was like 15 years ago. Not so good for AEW. Says a former world champion like myself, I believe an event like Grand Slam should have the AEW world champion at least compete. Which brings me to this. And he's got a contract in his hand. How many years have I had to watch from the sidelines Bryan Danielson's career an afterthought? A postscript to his success that should have been mine. And he's delivering this with passion.
No reaction.
Not at first. Eventually he did, because he had such great delivery, but I don't think anybody knew this story. Because Bryan Danielson is afraid of me. He's afraid of the one match that everyone wants to see. But Tony Khan isn't afraid, because Tony Khan's a psychopath. Tony Khan knows a money match when he sees one. So at Grand Slam, it's going to be Bryan Danielson, take a breath, Bryan, against Nigel McGuinness. And fans popped, and they did cut to a few fans.
People forget that this whole angle has been kind of playing out on Saturdays on the show that nobody watches too.
Correct. So he promises that Oasis is going to play him to the ring, which I think he just means that, like, he's going to play the music.
This is a bait and switch by a heel. Yes. Tony's going to probably shell out for rights.
But will you come down for the final countdown, or will it be the final countdown of your career or something, whatever? So we're getting Danielson and McGuinness, which, again, they advertise a Bryan Danielson title defense against Darby. Bryan's there, Darby's there, and we're not getting that match.
How are tickets moving? because I think they made this choice because people in that Mid-Atlantic corridor who are Ring of Honor fans might travel for a Nigel McGuinness match in 2 weeks.
Then you should have done that first.
I agree.
Yeah. Just checking to see if I can see.
But it's funny to me that it's like, okay, so I mean, to me, this might also be a bait and switch if he's actually indisposed and they start like a count out.
Because they did leave it open that, oh, it's only if he is
available. Yes.
If he's available. Yeah. Which I think at this point they kind of have to do.
Oh, I think, you know what? I think they're going to start the count and then call me the winner. And then like at like eight. Yeah. Oh, my God. He's here.
Countdown.
Yes.
I'm looking. Okay, I think the last thing I saw was like 3,600 tickets for that, but I'm trying to find. That's
good.
No, like I mean, they did. What is it like? Didn't they do 22,000 the first year they went there?
Why are they doing this on 2 weeks build?
Because they were building the Derby match for 2 months and nobody bought tickets.
Yes, I know that, but at the same time, this is something for the quote unquote sickos that should be a big deal for the sickos. I can't believe that they're doing this, but okay, cool.
I'm just about to give up on trying to find these tickets because
WrestleTix. Oh no,
I'm on WrestleTix Twitter and there's nothing. I've seen. Oh, here we go. 3,700 as of September 5th.
Well,
they're set up for 5,700. They did 11,000 last year.
Yeah.
So they're just a 8,000 short.
Don't worry. The new TV contract will fix everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Yeah. So, yeah. So we're going to get Darby. And I believe this is a title shot. Like, I think that's.
Oh, no. This is a world title match.
Yeah.
Because he wants to be the one. Because remember, there's also the stipulation that once he loses the title, he's done as a full time wrestler.
So then we get a Hook promo. And I was reminded that Hook just beat Chris Jericho. And Chris Jericho is wrestling Orange Cassidy now, who's higher up the card. And
this is the law of Jericho. He loses his match and he gets elevated, and the guy that beats him gets nothing.
Right. So he's with Roddy Strong. He says, I got respect for Roderick Strong. Rope to rope, bell to bell, you're one of the greatest wrestlers in the world. I respect you. However, my respect for you is disturbed when you and your buddies jump me. You whine about your foot under the ropes. That's not the Roddy Strong I know and respect. I beat a legend to regain this, and now I'm challenging you, Roddy. Anytime, any place. Tell me, Roderick, when's it going to be? Try and take this away from me. I'll tell you when it's going to be. It's going to be the collision on the week of Grand Slam. That's what it's going to be.
Hook should respect Roddy. I think that's wrong. I think Hook should just be the same jerk he's always been, not respect anybody. I think Hook that would get him over.
Hook should just say, you know what, we're going to do this match in my backyard, and you better show up.
Yeah, Roddy, you're a punk-ass bitch. Meet me in New York.
So the Bucks come out for the Casino Gauntlet, and they do the match. So FTR is the first team out, and then the next team is Ospreay and Fletcher. So the team that was just made are second out. I could swear Tony Schiavone said there were five teams in this, but maybe he just said there's a bunch of teams. I don't know. I wrote down five.
He said later that there were 21 teams signed up for this.
Yeah. Well, later they said that. So very early, Ospreay hit his head weird, and he was selling it like he was really hurt. But then a couple seconds later, he's just back doing flips, and so everything's fine. The very next team is the Righteous, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And you could hear a pin drop, and they're doing stuff, and nobody's reacting to anything.
They tried to do a good job on commentary by saying that they're serious and not doing their snapping crap. So I understand.
As soon as the Righteous showed up, it was like this match.
Felt amazing. Yeah, look, I thought FTR was a friggin' afterthought in this match, and it's like one of those things.
You say that? I was in the Discord during this because I was bored, and somebody asked, why aren't FTR in this match? They were the first team out.
They're the first team out, and they got nothing from this crowd, really.
Yeah. Somebody wrote down here exactly no pop. I think it was like a negative pop.
Collision has hurt them. Oh,
them being the Righteous hurts them.
Well, no, I meant FTR.
Oh, FTR. Yeah. Kingdom was out next. I wrote down, okay, this is a jobber match.
Boy, who couldn't predict that the Kingdom was going to be a part of this?
No. Claimed are out. They got a nice pop. No promo, though. This is where they showed Stokely in the crowd. I don't know. Maybe he's going to be, maybe they're going to dump Billy and go
with Stoke. I think they're dumping Billy and going with Stoke.
That could work. That could work. They did two famousers on Dax, but then they stopped to pose. Next out was the MXM collection. I wanted to die. I hate these guys.
I thought they did okay, but I was done with the posing. Posing is stupid, yeah. But the double team moves are kind of, you know, for
yeah, they're fine.
Mansoor's good.
Mansoor's a good worker. Dion's a good big man. He can't sell.
Dion's decent, but he needs to do big man moves as opposed to doing, you know,
he's like first year NXT right now, even though he's been doing this for like 8 years.
Yes.
So they squared off with the Acclaim because they've been feuding. Although, I mean, they haven't actually wrestled yet, but they're setting up a feud. They did their pose. What did I write down here? They announced the match is official. Oh, the TK Bryan Danielson. Yeah. But then Tony Khan said if Bryan Danielson is able to compete. So they announced the match. They put up a graphic for it. But then they made the point that, well, maybe he's not going to be cleared.
I'm going to be honest with you. At some point in this match, I was expecting the BCC guys to come out, clear out, take the pin.
Oh, that would have been shot so awesome. That would have been so odd. Like, I thought, my prediction for this was Claudio and Pac. Like, that's who I thought was going to win. So they did this convoluted suplex spot to go into break where, like, I think it was 12 guys in there, and they all, like, six of them did the suplex on six others.
And Dutch landed right on Mike Bennett's leg. Oh man, that looked bad. And Taz even goes, oh, my God.
He said he landed on someone.
He said Dutch landed on someone. I was looking at that was Mike Bennett.
And I don't think he did too much after that. So they go to break with 3 minutes left. They come back from break. We got that weird jump thing again. Top Flight are out next. No Flight Crew outfits and no Layla Gray. Dante and Ospreay did some cool stuff together. So hopefully they're going to do like just, you know, maybe like a collision match at some point. The Outrunners came out. They got by far the biggest pop.
I was shocked by this.
Not just the match, like the whole night. Like, I don't think anybody got a pop like this.
This show, by the way, early adopters on the Outrunners. And then they big timed us for an interview. Could not believe it. But go ahead.
Yeah. And we were in on them. Like,
we were in on them on their first appearance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and and he's.
I loved that they got this, and then they started wrestling. I kind of went, they're okay.
Yeah. Well, they. I mean, they did. They went nuts. They cleared the ring. FTR attacked them on the ramp. They brawled. Oh, no. Yeah. No, sorry. I'm doing a bunch of stuff here.
That's okay. While you're looking at notes, I'll circle back to a joke I forgot during the Jericho segment.
Okay.
It was Eichmann Jericho. Oh.
So they did their Mega Powers handshake and they posed after they cleared the ring, and that got a huge pop. GYV's out next, and immediately they get attacked by FTR on the ramp and they brawled to the back and basically gave up their shot. So I don't even know why they put Great Grizzly Young Vets in here. Because they did nothing, and literally nothing.
No, I agree.
Get FTR out of there. I think a lot of people were expecting maybe Motor City Machine Guns, although I think they're with WWE. They were expecting maybe the Hurt Business. You know, I don't know, maybe somebody else. But the surprise was no surprise. And then Ospreay was looking at them as they were leaving, got hit from behind. I wrote down the match is falling apart. Turbo suplex Mansoor onto a pile of people. They did their finisher on Mansoor, and the crowd totally bought this was going to be a finish, but Vincent pulled Turbo off of him. Darius did a dive on everyone. They did the spot where everyone hits their finisher. And Rana by Dante on Fletcher for a good near fall. Dante hit the knees on a splash, and then Ospreay hit the hidden blade, and Fletcher got the win. And that was it. I was totally like, even though they're 8 minutes over, like I was not ready for the finish. Like it just seemed to come out of nowhere. But, I mean, Ospreay and Fletcher won. And so they had announced earlier, the Bucks against them at Grand Slam. So we've got Ospreay and Fletcher against the Bucks. We've got Danielson and Danielson and Nigel, and Moxley and Darby, and probably Hook and Roddy.
Question.
Yes.
In this tag match, are they going to take two steps back and have Will decide he's not going to hit the Tiger Driver on one of the Bucks, and that's why they lose?
No, I think Kyle's going to hit the Tiger Driver on Will and leave him for dead.
Oh, see, I think he's turning on like the week after that match or after the match happens or whatever. But I'm trying to figure out a reason why they lose within the match.
Well, it'll probably be Kyle that gets pinned and then he's going to blame Will.
Yeah.
Like,
or you know what? If Will got pinned and Kyle gets set off by that bite, I was so close once again, that would make more sense, but they're never going to do that.
Yeah. So I mean, it'll be a great match. I mean, you know, Bucks. No,
it will be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I thought the Bucks match on Saturday over delivered.
Yeah, I mean, it was very good. I thought maybe we're gonna get the return of Mark Davis.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard some stuff, but. So that was it. They showing off the air and we got Grand Slam is heating up.
And we still have a mystery as to why John Moxley tried to murder the AEW World Champion.
Yes, we do.
Well, and the TV show went off without a hitch.
Well, no, I will counter that a little bit. I mean, maybe trying to murder him was extreme, but he did explain why he turned on him.
Maybe
he turned on him because he wants to do something and he doesn't think Bryan Danielson is up for it, so he has to get him out of the way.
So you put a bag over his head and choke him to death?
Well, that he just did because he likes Terry Funk. Although, if you know the story, when he first started, like, you know, becoming a name and everything, and I think Dave Meltzer told him that he reminds him of Terry Funk, and he wasn't familiar with Terry Funk, so he had to go back and watch some of the stuff, like he had never seen it, and then he became a fan.
I kind of obviously believe that, although Thatcher trained him, so I assume Les Thatcher would get him.
He probably maybe knew like the ECW stuff and everything, but I'm thinking like back.
It's a generational thing. I could see that too.
Yeah. Whereas like I'm sure Eddie was one that probably watched all that old stuff.
Yeah. Does that mean that there's a John Moxley cosplayer who's the Dick Slater to
Terry? You know who he reminded me of when I first saw him was Eddie Gilbert.
A bit. He's a little taller and leaner than.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize how tall he was at the time. Like the first time I saw him was when he did the Shield thing. Like I hadn't seen him before that ever. So you know, and so again with Seth and Roman, he didn't look as big as he actually is.
Because he was in the Land of Giants. So.
But just his whole like persona, it was more the persona than physically, although a little bit physically, but it just his persona. Like he reminded me of Eddie, like just kind of off the wall. Or off the.
Like, I was saying Piper.
Piper a little bit. Yeah. I could see that. But so that's it. That's Dynamite. I thought I wasn't a huge fan of the show. I thought it was
okay, but it was narratively unsatisfying on some levels for me.
I will say my biggest issue with the show was going back to telling us that what we're watching sucks and we're going to fix it.
Well, telling you that the company sucks.
Yeah. 92 Eddie Gilbert. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
In WCW?
I think so. Yeah. That's what I remember. And that's where
he wasn't a heel there. He was a baby face though. So,
okay. Maybe it's a little bit earlier than that. Maybe like 87 Mid-South.
Mid-South. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause that's when I first saw him when he was with Sting.
Or Memphis.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see a lot of that.
But the Mid-South stuff tracks because he was the main heel there for the most part.
All right, well, let's wrap this up.
Yeah. You can follow me at CrapGame13 on Elon Musk X. I do a show called Shake Them Ropes over on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. This week, any news that drops in the next day, going over Raw, NXT, All Out, if Nov watched it. For Vader Club, we have a Vader six-man where he teams with Bam Bam Bigelow and Steve Williams.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. That's on the Shake Them Ropes feed at Shake Them Ropes on X. So yeah, that'll be cool.
And I'm at Paul A. Fontaine on the aforementioned X. And as well, you soon be able to read some of my musings. Fight Game Media is doing more written work and fightgamemedia.com. So you can check that out. There's a crew of us, you know, three or four or five, that'll be trying to get stuff up daily. So you can check that out. Not exactly sure what the content's going to be yet, but it will be coming soon. So you can check out to hear from me in between when I do this show. I'll have random thoughts about different things, and I don't know exactly the format, but stay tuned, and I'll probably have something to plug next week. So for Jeff Hawkins, I've been Paul Fontaine, and this has been The Dynamite Show.